Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. I thought a nice topic to discuss with all of you this evening in anticipation of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance is the background prior to Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance. What happened? How did this very amazing Adbhuta Shingha form of the Lord appear? What's the background? In anticipation of Lord Nrisimha's appearance on Chaturdasi. Some of this description comes from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We'll go back to before Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were born. Who were they? They were gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. Boy, what a change. From gatekeepers of Vaikuntha to Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Here's how that happened. Jai and Vijay, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, are outside the seventh gate of Vaikuntha. But that's their service, they're gatekeepers or doorkeepers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. So one time, Jai and Vijay were not just outside that seventh gate, they were requested by Lord Narayan, please guard my door of my room. I want to take rest. The Lord doesn't need to take rest, but it's a leela. He wanted to take rest. He said, no matter what, don't let anyone disturb me. Yes, my Lord, no one will disturb you. So time went by, and Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, wanted to see her Lord. So what did Jai and Vijay say? Same as they said to the four Kumaras, I'm sorry. But we have strict orders not to let anyone enter in any condition, under any condition. I'm her husband. I'm her wife. She's my husband. I just want to serve him. I'm sorry, you can't enter. So, by the arrangement of the Lord's own Leela Shakti, Goddess Lakshmi became very angry with Jai and Vijay. So after the Lord awoke, the Goddess of Fortune entered to serve her Lord, and she described how what had happened and how unhappy she was. And you should do something to correct. These are your servants and they've misrepresented. So, those of you that are married know how there's sometimes circumstances. I'm not married and just having disciples. I know sometimes there's circumstances when you're expected to do this and to not do that. You know how it goes. And even it happens with the Adi Purusha, the Supreme Lord, because he understood Jai and Vijay were doing exactly what was asked of them. Exactly what was asked of them. And my beloved goddess of fortune, she simply wanted to serve me, and she was checked from serving me by Jai and Vijay. What to do? So he wanted to support Jai and Vijay for being obedient servants. And he wanted to satisfy his beloved goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. he said, I'll make some arrangement to give them their lesson. Of course, in the spiritual world, time is eternal. But for the purpose of the narration, we can say, and some time passed. And here comes this situation where... Oh, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, it became the position of Jayan Vijay. Their service specifically is guarding the gate or the door. They're doorkeepers or gatekeepers. But their rasa is dasya rasa. Just like Bhishma Dev is a pure devotee of the Lord, unquestionably pure devotee of the Lord. In dasya rasa, Bhishma Dev explained before everybody at the Rajasuya Yajna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and he declared it with such enthusiasm and boldness and joy. Shishupal couldn't stand it. But he had that very clear understanding and realization of Krishna's position. But look what Bhishma Dev did. He took the opposite side, fought against Krishna and the Pandavas, and took a vow that he would kill Krishna's best friend unless Krishna broke his promise. What's that? Well, it's a little different than Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. It's a mood of, you know, the science of rasa. There's five principal rasas: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. Five principal rasas. And Dasya is servitorship. And then there's seven secondary rasas. One of those seven secondary rasas is chivalry. Chivalry is, in a sportive, combative, competitive, transcendentally competitive mood. Just like Sridham. Sridham is the younger brother of Srimati Radharani, and sometimes the boys would wrestle, and Sridham would beat Krishna in wrestling. So Krishna had to carry Sridham on his shoulders because he lost. And Sridham says, what kind of a big man are you? You're easily defeated in wrestling. So Krishna enjoys chivalrous activity with his loving devotees. So Bhishma understood that, and so Bhishma took the position of the opposite side of Krishna. So he could be so intense in his combat against Krishna that Krishna would break his vow, because Krishna made Bhishma Dev break his vow, right? Krishna made Bhishma Dev break his vow. Krishna sent Arjuna to go take those five arrows so that the vow that Bhishma Dev made, and Bhishma Dev never breaks his vow, even against Parashuram. He fought Parashuram because he wouldn't break his vow. I've taken a vow that I'll not marry. You want me to marry Amba, but I've taken a vow. What kind of instruction is that? I have to reject your instruction. Let's fight. Bhishma Dev never breaks his vow. Krishna made Bhishma Dev break his vow by taking those five arrows. Arjuna took the five arrows. So Bhishma took a vow. I'll make Krishna break his vow, or I'll kill his best friend. Whoa! But when Krishna broke his vow and picked up the chariot wheel of Arjuna and went charging at Bhishma Dev to smash him, the conch sounded, the end of the day. Ooh. Bhishma Dev dropped his weapons. Ah! Krishna broke his vow. So the way that the science of rasa works is sometimes the chivalrous rasa, the seven secondary rasas, eclipse the primary rasa, just like during eclipse. It is not that the sun or the moon go out of existence, but you can't see them. They're eclipsed. So the primary rasa may be eclipsed by the secondary rasa, as in the case of Bhishma Dev. His chivalry overcame his mood of being Krishna's servant. So he was serving Krishna in chivalrous rasa. Krishna enjoyed it. We know that from Nectar Devotion, the arrows that pierce the body of Krishna. Ooh, ooh. In a very unusual way, like a lover biting the beloved feels, ooh, very nice. I don't know what that's like, but whatever that's like, oh, that's very nice. So, Jai and Vijay, they understood our Lord, Narayan, he likes chivalrous combat. But who can be a competitor for our Lord? Nobody. Maybe if one of his devotees became a competitor. So then they prayed to Lord Narayan within their hearts. Our dear Master and Lord, if you so desire, we can do that service for you. We would be very happy, if you so desire, we can do that service for you. We can be your so-called competitor and give you nice combat. Because who can do that besides your devotee? The plot thickens. The Supreme Lord now has giant Vijay to please because they'd served him even against the wishes of the goddess of fortune. It's like Lakshman. Lakshman should have told, I'm not leaving. Ram said not to go, and I'm not going. And I'll stop you from harming yourself. I'm not going. But he went. Look at the problem. So, Jai and Vijay were to be supported by Lord Narayan. Lakshmi needed to be satisfied, pacified. Her heart's desire. And now Jai and Vijay are desiring, we want to do this chivalrous service for you, if you so desire. Next in the scene comes the four Kumaras. Beautiful description in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Boy, when I saw that chapter, description of the kingdom of God, it's like a flashback to my childhood when I was always wondering, what's it like? Someone asked me just today, what's it like? When you go to the kingdom of God, what's it like there? What do you do? If you get an idea of what it's like and what you do, you want to go there. If you don't have any ideas, oh, it's very nice. Oh, okay. What happens? You got to go there. Oh, well, I've heard that before, you know. Go to some tourist place and it's not what it was made up to be. What is it, really? Anyway, it's the Kumaras approaching the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha. And when they came before the gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay prohibit them. You're not pure devotees. You can't enter these gates without pure devotion for the Lord. Although they were beyond material attraction, thus in the position of Brahman realization, Brahman realization is not bhakti, it's neutrality towards material attraction. But what's the positive spiritual attraction? That's bhakti. But they hadn't considered the fact, they made a mistake, they hadn't considered the fact that just by smelling the aroma of the sandalwood paste and the tulsi buds anointing the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, they became attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti had awakened in their heart just from that little association. So next time someone offers you one of the flowers that was offered to the deity or some tulsi manjari. I was thinking of this past time when I visited in Jaipur, and at the end of the Mangal Aarti, anyone that's been to Jaipur for Mangal Aarti knows what that's an experience. The pujari brought me right up to the altar. Like right up to the altar. Went to the altar, took tulsi leaves and manjaris from the lotus feet of Govinda and placed them in my hand. If I was, you know, Jayan Vijay, if I was neutral towards material attraction, maybe some devotion, genuine bhakti would have awakened in my heart. That's what happened to Jayan Vijay. They became devotees just from that association. So they understood, Jayan Vijay, you're not qualified to serve the Supreme Lord. You can't properly distinguish between who's fit and who's unfit for entering Vaikuntha. We curse you. You shouldn't maintain this position. You go to the material world. So many births as devotees or so many births as demons. So they chose what was their prayer? Three births as demons, please. So we can serve. We could go for seven births as devotees, but we're devotees here. And your desire for chivalrous activity won't be fulfilled. So we'll take those three births. So when we look at Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, as demoniac as they are, we should bear this in mind. This is, the background is, they're not just actors on a stage, they're taking the role of demoniac persons. But in their heart of hearts, they're devotees of the Lord. And then Prahlad Maharaj. Who was Prahlad Maharaj before he was Prahlad Maharaj? What was Prahlad Maharaj in his previous birth? Anybody know? I had this discussion with Bhakti Tru Swami one time in Vrindavan. I remember the discussion. And there are two explanations. He gave one of them, and the Bhagavatam gives another one. One explanation is, in Prahlad Maharaj's previous birth, he was a brahmana. And as a brahmana, as a young boy brahmana, young man, he had a brahmani girlfriend. And one time they were in the forest. And he became overwhelmed with lusty desire, and he desired to enjoy with her in an improper way. He found a cleared place. It turned out it was an abandoned Nrisinga temple. So he made the place clean, and it was on Ekadasi. So he made the place clean so they could do their little program together. She became angry with him and left. So he was, you know, singing the blues, oh, woe is me. And he fasted the whole day, near Jalakadasi. And he did a little service for Lord Nrisingadev by cleaning the very place where the altar of Lord Nrisingadev was. For it's that little service to Lord Nrisingadev. And that observing of Nirjala Ekadasi and Ekadasi, he became a pure devotee. But the other side was, he had intentions that weren't very pure for a Brahmin or for anyone. And therefore he took birth as the son of Hiranyakashipu. At a program yesterday evening, somebody asked one of those standard questions. if we don't know this karma question, if we don't know what the cause of our past deeds are, and we're undergoing some trouble this life, how would it help us if we don't know what that past misdeed is that we're now undergoing some trouble for? You heard that one before, right? It's almost like, hey, it's not fair. Without saying it's not fair. But that's like the spirit behind it. We may not know what the cause of the good fortune that's coming our way. We may not know the cause of the bad fortune that's coming our way. But we know something is back there. Good deed and bad deed is bringing the bad fortune, good fortune. And the lesson is, don't stay in the material world. Don't accumulate good fortune, bad fortune. Engage in that which is free from that reaction. There's a teaching how to do that. It's devotional service. And there's certain things you can't offer to Krishna, so you don't do them. And those things that can be offered to Krishna, you do them for Krishna's service. Only, and not otherwise. That's the formula. Very simple. Karma-free life. No more bondage. That's the lesson. Well, in his previous life, according to this particular Purana, Prahlad didn't observe that one. He was prepared to do something that wasn't to be offered to the Supreme Lord at all. He had lost control of his senses. So for that, he had some misfortune. But the misfortune was neutralized altogether by the good fortune. He had become a great devotee. So now we fast forward, and Prahlad is the son of Hiranyakashipu within the womb of Kayadu. Hiranyakashipu, while Kayadu is pregnant, is off in the forest and undergoing his austerities for a very long time, hundred celestial years. That's a long time for Kayadu's pregnancy. She was about to be apprehended by the demigods, headed by Indra, when Narada came. And Narada said, what are you doing, taking a woman away like this? Well, it's not her, it's in her womb. There's this Hiranyakashipu Jr. And you know, we just want to take care of the child when the child is born, and you know, she's okay. No. Within her womb is a Mahabhagavata devotee. Prahlad said. Narada said. How did Narada know? How does Narada know to do all the things that Narada does? He's got a direct community channel with Krishna. He knows when to appear, what to say, what to do, what not to do, and to take care of all kinds of circumstances because he's fully connected to Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. His senses are entirely deployed in only in Krishna's service. He has that capacity. He's achieved the state of pure devotional service. So he knew. And specifically he says he's a Mahabhagavata devotee. Place him in my care. So he instructed Srimad Bhagavatam in his ashram. And from that association of hearing, even within the womb, hearing the personality of Godhead spoken from the lips of a pure devotee, Narada Muni, even before he was born, he was blessed. Even before he was born, he was a Mahabhagavata devotee. So now I want to read something that's a slightly different version, and it's okay that there's a different version. That it could be, sometimes we hear these different descriptions, it's different appearances of Lord Nrisimhadeva and different appearances of this pastime of Prahlad. So here in the Bhagavatam, there's a nice presentation when the personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadeva, is offering his benedictions to Prahlad. And Prahlad considers them to be enticements. You know, enticement is like not necessarily in your best interest, and it is an enticement. So, I'll read. I like to read. The great sage Narada Muni said, I'm reading from the end of chapter 9, canto 7. Thus Lord Nrisimhadeva was pacified by Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind upon Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, spoke as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, O most gentle one, best of the family of Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings. And therefore, you may ask from me any benediction that you desire, and it will be fulfilled. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone." So Prahlad had anticipated this, and to the very beginning, even before he offered his prayers that pacified the Lord, he requested the Lord not to offer him benedictions. He said, "Because I'm born in a demoniac family, what desire will I ask of you but something demoniac? I have demoniac blood coursing through my veins. I have nothing but demoniac purposes. Please don't ask me." And then he went on to say that, "How could I accept something without the shelter of my spiritual master? How could I abandon the shelter of the lotus feet of my spiritual master?" Meaning, by accepting something instead of the lotus feet of one's spiritual master, that something becomes one's shelter. How could I do that? Unthinkable. There's one thing that would be very nice, more of Narada's association. Because in Narada's association, then I will be able to understand better how to serve you. But he didn't specifically, the Lord hadn't asked him to take a benediction yet. So after all of his very nice prayers, he's asking explicitly for his benediction. So now what does Prahlad say? Although Prahlad Maharaj, this is Narada Muni speaking, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by the Lord Nrisimhadeva, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke pleasingly as follows. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to materialistic enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Just see how the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are the same teachings. We can say the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are the source, the pramana, the evidence for Lord Chaitanya's teachings. But after all, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. And so, who is the source of all the Vedas? So, there's naturally absolute symmetry between the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam and the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. As Lord Chaitanya taught, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Vajagadisha, Kamaye, Mama Janmani, Janmani, Shari Bhavatad, Bhaktir, Ahaituki, Tvayi. It even sounds nice. Ahaituki, Bhakti. Lord Chaitanya's teaching is that one should aspire for hetu means cause, and ahetu means without cause or without motivation. Unmotivated devotional service, devotion, love. Service simply out of love, without any interest of anything, no conditions, unconditional love. Is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, without wanting anything, just love, service with love. The teaching of the Goswamis is the same teaching. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma janavratam. We should, his teaching, which is Lord Chaitanya's teaching, is that one should take up service to the Supreme Lord without any motivation for fruitive activity or speculative knowledge, karma or jnana, anavratam, eliminated. But one thing, Krishnanushilana, engaging in loving service to the Personality of God, this is Prahlad. He's a pure devotee. As a pure devotee, he's speaking of himself as a non-devotee, as a materialistic person with strong material desires. So don't ask me for benedictions. It will just entangle me. It's bad for me. Listen to the next verse. He says the opposite. Oh, my worshipful Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Huh. Did you catch that? In a nice, beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada, he describes that Narada Muni is a nitya-siddha devotee. Nitya-siddha, nitya-siddha, eternally perfected devotee who the Lord sent from the spiritual world to come to this world and demonstrate a life that's free from material desire. A life that's free from material desire. The next verse, he prays to the Lord to free my heart from material desire. I'll read. Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. He says it again. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. What's the other relationship? You know what the other relationship is. I do this for you, and you do this for me. That's our relationship. Business. And if you stop doing this for me, you know what happens. See you later. I'll find someone else to do business with and call them my friend. And that's what he says in the previous. He uses the word vanik. You all know what that word means. It's business. I'm not a businessman. My relationship with you is not one of business. You've done something for me, and I'll do something for you. Or I've done something for you, and I'm expecting you to do something for me. Please don't. My dear Lord, please not. There's no such relationship between us. I'm your servant. You're my master. That's it. then he prays to take away material desire from his heart. Oh my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to, if you want to bestow a benediction on me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desire. That's my desire. Very nice. Checkmate. I won't accept anything from you. But if it's your desire, then I'll desire to have no material desire. That's my desire. I simply want to serve you in love. And this is Prahlad Maharaj. This is the pure devotee, the Nitya Siddha Bhakta, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj, is saying, you sent me here. You sent me here to this world to teach, by example, what is the life of pure devotion. Now let's go over it one more time, a little slowly. The one who has such a quality, although they recognize he's saying, you sent me here from the spiritual world to teach, and here's how that person teaches. In the core of my heart, I have material desire. He's speaking that way. Please remove those desires from my heart. I'll tell a Prabhupada story that's very much related to this. Prabhupada was sitting in his room in the afternoon. Those of you that know a little bit from Lilamrita what his schedule was, in the afternoon time, it was some time allotted for darshan. And if there was some guest, then Prabhupada would receive the guest. And if there wasn't a guest, then he would sometimes invite the devotees to come to his room. That time was fixed, and different things would fill that time. So one afternoon, there were a number of devotees in Prabhupada's room, and he was having fun with them. He said, "What's the difference between you and me?" And they were saying, "Oh, Prabhupada this, and oh, Prabhupada that, and oh, Prabhupada this," and it was a very jolly time, very, very joyful. They were just unlimitedly glorifying Prabhupada. But he had a particular point. So just before it was time to go greet the deities, he stopped them and said, "The difference is, you can all fall down and I cannot. Jai Prabhupada!" Let's go greet the deities. So they went to greet the deities. And Prabhupada came before the deities, just like this gentleman is greeting the deities now. And Prabhupada was standing there with his hands folded, saying some prayers. And the devotee right by his shoulder, his servant, noticed that Prabhupada was reciting some prayers. So he finished the prayers and went and chanted Jai Radha Madhava and gave the class and Jai Prabhupada. He went back to his room. So in his room, the devotee said, "Srila Prabhupada, you were reciting some prayers when you were greeting the deities. May I ask, what were those prayers that you were reciting to the deities?" And Prabhupada said, "I was offering prayers to the deities that I never fall down from devotional service." But Prabhupada, you told us that you would never fall down from devotional service, and that's the difference between you and us. And Prabhupada said, "And now you know why." I am always like Prahlad Maharaj, praying to Krishna, "Please take from my heart any desire other than service unto you." Thinking in the mood of humility, my heart is infested, honeycombed with so many faults and impure desires. Please protect me. That is our worship of Lord Nrisimhadev, that to take from our hearts the Haranyakashipu-like desires for material enjoyment. Because the conditioned living being, even if the conditioned living being, no, by the way, that's us, if the conditioned living being is engaged in devotional service, until that point that we become qualified like Prahlad Maharaj, we certainly have material desire in our heart. We're conditioned. Even the residual tendency may tend to make itself manifest, even if the heart becomes, by process of bhakti, purified. Tendency from years and lifetimes together may manifest itself. We have Krishna's assurance, if that happens, Krishna will correct the situation. Chipram bhavati dharmatma. But we still don't want to do those things. So we pray for Krishna's protection, or specifically, Lord Nrisimhadeva's protection, to take from our hearts even the tendency, residual tendency. Prabhupada gives that example. You've all heard it. The fan, spinning, zoom, zoom, zoom. You pull the plug on the fan, and it's still zoom, zoom, zoom. Blades of the fan are still spinning. But slowly, they'll slow down and eventually stop. Just don't plug the fan in again. So, same. Our activities prior to devotional service are impure or tinged at best, tinged with the modes of nature, and material tendency is impelled by the modes of material nature. So, we're to engage ourselves in pure devotional service, following the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, so that the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, can appear and remove from our heart even the tendency. But following the example of Prahlad, we should also desire, pray to the Lord, that those desires or those tendencies are taken away. Please keep us fixed in your devotional service exclusively. One last, because we have 8 minutes remaining. The Supreme Lord Narayan. Let us not forget Him in this wonderful assembly of dramatists making their presentation in this world to attract our hearts to the Personality of Godhead. There's Lord Narayan, who had this chivalrous rasa that Jai and Vijay wanted to help him fulfill. So he came. And he came in a very amazing form, such an amazing form, that even the goddess of fortune, just listening to Prabhupada describing this yesterday, I was taking prasadam, I was listening to Prabhupada describe, the demigods first, they went forward, offered their beautiful, because the Lord was very angry after killing Hiranyakashipu and all of his thousands of soldiers. His mood was still very intense. Great anger. So they offered prayers to pacify his anger. Didn't work. He was still very angry. So they requested the goddess of fortune, her husband, Narayan. He's come in this most amazing form. She was afraid. Prabhupada was explaining. She's perfectly chaste. She would know no other, listen carefully, she would know no other but her Lord. But because she never saw this form before, she was unsure if she should even approach him, because that's not my husband. How can I approach someone who's not my husband? I've never seen that form before. So she wouldn't approach him. So at last recourse, they went to Prahlad. You do it. The Lord appeared because of you, to protect you, because of His deep love for you. You can pacify Him. So this form of Lord Nrisimhadeva is none other than Lord Narayan of Vaikuntha. In a particular feature, appropriate to uphold the promise given by Lord Brahma What was that promise? So just fill in the whole picture now. Hiranyakashipu was off in the forest with his arms raised, standing on his tiptoes, the whole program, to become immortal. So Lord Brahma comes and says, "My dear sir, what is it that you want?" "I want to become mortal." "How can I give you immortality when I myself don't have immortality?" "You can't give to others something you don't have." But because he was a demon, he said, "All right, I'll be clever instead of asking directly. I'll not be killed in the day or the night or inside or outside or by this thing, a weapon made by man." Didn't count for you, the claws of a lion, half man, half lion. Not at day, not at night, not inside, not outside. To uphold the promise of Lord Brahma. Just see how the personality of Godhead is expert. There's 64 qualities mentioned in Nectar Devotion. One of them is expert. He satisfied the goddess of fortune. He satisfied the four Kumaras. He fulfilled the desire for chivalrous activity. He upheld the will of Lord Brahma. He accomplished so many things. And assembled all of those personalities together to teach us about pure devotional service. So that so many millions of years later, we're still glorifying the same wonderful pastime of the Lord to attain pure devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj achieved spiritual perfection. He achieved spiritual perfection not just because the Lord appeared, although the prayers that we read, or the verses that we read, Lord Nrisimhadeva is saying, "My dear Prahlad, your life is perfect." But that perfection was that he constantly remembered the personality of Godhead. Yes, we have 9 processes of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. By constant remembrance, just by constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead, Prahlad achieved perfection. He was constantly remembering the Lord because he didn't have any other desire. Or say it the other way, when we have other desire, we can't constantly remember anything except the unlimited mix of all the different material desires. You can't have constant remembrance as long as there's material desire. Prahlad had no material desire. So his service was constantly remembering the Lord. And he was protected by that remembrance. It's such a simple thing. But it's so difficult. Because we have so many material desires. So in anticipation of Lord Nrisimha's appearance, you can read the pastime and read these beautiful prayers that Prahlad offered to Lord Nrisimhadeva. Beautiful, beautiful prayers. And pray to Lord Nrisimhadeva that our heart becomes free by his appearing within our heart, by a desire for that association of his, that he removes from our heart all other desires except this one, simply to serve him. "You are my master. I am your servant. This is our relationship, and there's nothing else." Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.